This is VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in. We are live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard getting you set for week number 17 of the National Football League. Big three-hour program lined up today. Warren Sharp on the program twice. His first hit comes up in 30 minutes. His look at the betting board with a best bet on player props. John Hansen, fantasy guru, comes in loaded with about five or six guys that he likes today. And Dr. David Chow back into the program to go over all of the actives, inactives, the key injuries for today after they are announced about 15 minutes before he pops on the show. So now we have five games, Paulie, in the books this week already. Three from Christmas, two from last night. Dogs are barking this week. 5-0 so far against the spread. And the way that those games developed yesterday, the late game specifically, and how that was correlated with the Steelers game today against the Browns and how numbers were going to be moving based on that. Pretty much during the game last night when the Ravens were out in front of the Packers comfortably, most books moved to 3.5 on the Steelers today. Here at Circa, they're at 3 -125. Where was that usage from Derrick Henry over the past month? If I'm a Ravens fan, and I'm a Ravens bettor myself, I had them again Thanksgiving night, Circa Survivor against the Bengals, throwing my arms up in the air, pissed. Like, where is this guy? Come on, use him. 36 carries last night, could not be tackled. And now what this means for fantasy championships as well, you're sitting here today with a humongous lead if you have the guy.
Yeah, I haven't been that mad watching a football game in a long time. And we mentioned it last week on Follow the Money. It's Monken and it's also Harbaugh. I'm not saying 36 carries.
No.
All you had to do was give him the ball 25 times a game. You would have been 11-6 and coasted to a playoff spot and a division title. No one wants to tackle that guy. He's such a beast. Four touchdowns, over 200 yards. How about last Sunday night? Their season's on the line and he's on the bench and doesn't get a touch in the last 12 minutes after he ran wild against New England. It's coaching malpractice.
When they went by double digits, by the way, in the fourth quarter of that game.
Terrible job. Coaching malpractice. Great game plan. I don't know what they were doing, how they abandoned the run and get away from it like they did against the Bengals, like they did against the Patriots, like they did in the AFC title game a couple years ago against the Chiefs. Shame on that coaching staff. And after the game, he said, I'm praying for the Browns. That'd be great, too. And I think a lot of teams are praying for the Steelers, though, because they don't want to see this guy in January, because still, that is a dangerous team if they can make the playoffs.
I was so mad last night that I actually want him to miss the playoffs. I think with that coaching, what they did down the stretch, they don't deserve to be in. It took this long. It took till week 17 to figure out you need to ride that guy to a win. I mean,
what a luxury.
It was pretty sick. It's right in front of you.
3rd and 5, you can just run the ball. 3rd and 7, that's exactly you can just run the ball. Backup quarterback. I haven't seen that many big tickets cash in a game in a long time either. Those are two backup quarterbacks in the stuff that cashed. I didn't see Henry 4 touchdowns. Henry 3 touchdowns was 25-1. 50 yards rushing each half was plus 650. 20 yards rushing each quarter was 17-1. Henry and Huntley combined 250 rushing was 80-1. Willis, your guy, 2 touchdowns was 30-1.
So when Willis got hurt last night, that shoulder that came back to haunt him from that hit that he took, great job by Peacock last night showing that, the hit that he took against the Bears last week, to drive his right shoulder into the ground like that. And for him, when he threw that pass that was completed, he's like, oh man, get me out of here right now. I did a quick Malik Willis search on X because I wanted to know, like, is he coming back into the game? Is he questionable? Every single, like it just came up, and people who I follow were saying this throughout the game, he's better than Jordan Love. Now, that's an overreaction, but as I've said for weeks now, I'm fine with Malik Willis working with Matt LaFleur, and if this is the guy that they have to go to, they probably don't. Love's going to be okay, I think, but if Willis is needed next week for any reason, why I don't know why he would at this point, but or in the playoffs, I'm okay with that guy. And by the way, he looked good last night, throwing the football on top of his running ability.
A lot of people making the case he should be a starter next year. No doubt about it. He's been phenomenal and a great performance. And there's a bad job by Baltimore's defense, but phenomenal job by Willis in there. But now we'll see what happens with the Steelers, who need it in the worst way. Because now you don't want to take on Henry and see that offense in a win-or-go-home situation coming up Sunday.
Yeah, and by the way, as a side note for that game, home teams in this Pittsburgh-Cleveland rivalry, 13-2-1 straight up, 13-3 ATS, last 16. And of course, Cleveland has home field today. This has been the bugaboo for Mike Tomlin in this division. Snake bitten here playing at Cleveland over the years.
Number one, Garrett gets the record. Number two, we'll see what Sanders can do. And is he auditioning for next season and what they can do offensively? And if he takes care of the ball, they got a shot in this one. And I'd love to see it. But the Steeler offense is humming the last couple of weeks. And I don't mind Washington anytime touchdown plus 425 either. Also, kudos to you. You were on this early. How about the Houston Texans? Now, division prices, the playoffs, they started 0-3. And then you have Stroud hurt. And you're going with a backup quarterback. They have won 8 in a row. They are still live for the division. They are in the playoffs. What a turnaround this has been. And if you got futures on this team, Super Bowl, AFC, division, even Ryan's coach of the year, which unlikely to happen, but still, he's done an incredible job. Kudos to Davis Mills for holding it down while Stroud was out. And that defense is absolutely filthy. And a great win for the Texans. And that was typical Chargers, that you could still win the division. You could have a great seed. And the most accurate kicker in history misses two easy kicks, a bad interception on a drop from Gadsden, and that was a typical excruciating Charger loss.
Plus, then the ref show got involved on both sides of the ball, by the way. There was a bad one against the Texans, and a little bit later on last night in the fourth quarter, yesterday, it was a makeup call that you can't make that call with the game on the line. Just over, 2 minutes, I think, to play in the game. And the Chargers are probably going to get the ball back at that point, or a good chance anyway. What are we doing here, guys? We're nitpicking here. Come on, that's a ticky-tack call. You cannot make that week 17 with everything that we're talking about here now on the line. And the Chargers with the possibility to win the division next week. I would not have called it anyway, but then you factor in everything else like that. I just said, how? Come on. You're too big of a storyline every single weekend in this sport. You got to be wiped out and eliminated from having this big of a decision-making process. And if Stroud and the Texans could somehow have that sort of an explosive passing game, you win the whole thing.
He was awful again yesterday, though.
Oh, the two INTs overall. Oh,
come on. Uh-huh. Run the ball. You're having so much success on the ground. Understand game, situation, and how great your defense is. I mean, you get the two bombs early. Guys are wide open, and they keep throwing the ball. And then when they were backed up right before the half, he throws that terrible interception. So he's got to get better. And the last couple of years, he's regressed. Where's the guy who was so good as a rookie? Now, if he plays like he did as a rookie, they can win the Super Bowl. But they could be one and done with how he's turning the ball over and how he's not making plays. But again, phenomenal job by Ryan's and the defense. And Fairbairn goes over again. That's a 26-3 overrun now. Every game this year but one, he's gone over 1.5 made field goals.
Now, that took a minute for it to get there.
No, yes.
But it's a 60-minute game.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? And so it all cashes the same. And this defense is clearly going to be able to travel in January and in the playoffs and go anywhere and keep them in the game. But you're exactly right. It's going to come down to how that dude's going to be playing the quarterback position. And that's the biggest unknown with the team. If they just get a guy who's going to be turnover free and somewhat efficient, they can win the whole thing.
It's like I'm watching Geno Smith. Like, bad decision, horrible throw, almost an interception, almost a pick six, another bad throw. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, there was a lot of steam, by the way, for the Chargers this week as a team that could maybe win the whole thing. I was adamant on this, on Follow the Money. I can't get there. I love him. I love Harbaugh. I love Herbert. The offensive line is going to be an issue against a team like that, which they will see numerous teams like that in the playoffs. Horrible matchup. How is that offensive line possibly going to be able to patch it together against Houston again, against Denver, some of these other teams in the AFC?
No, they're going to be the 7th seed, and they'll likely take on Denver or New England in the first playoff game.
Not going to go well, probably.
No, they got a good team. You're right, but you can't overcome all these injuries on the O-line. Too much to overcome. It's too bad.
So what are you seeing basically going back when teams have been eliminated from the playoffs against teams that need to win the game?
Since 1990, dogs are 61% when eliminated teams are playing teams that need to win. It went 2-0 already on Christmas. Games that fit: Tampa, Miami, Patriots, Jets, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Houston, Colts, and the Monday night game as well. Mm-hmm. Tip of the cap to Evan Abrams, but there's already a tax and it's already factored into the line that it's the must win against the team that has theoretically given up on the season. But a 2-0 already, you saw what happened with the Lions, and you saw what happened with Washington fighting. So those are games that fit, and that's an incredible stat going back since 1990, the angle here today.
Yeah, how about that? With Jacksonville and Indy, Jacksonville was 6.5. Now they're down to 5.
I think they play it like you said Friday on Follow the Money, that it's Rivers saying, I came back. I'm playing this game. And then if you want to sit me in week 18, fine. But I you would also think it's just, I mean, Jacksonville's got to have it in the worst way too, because of the division and seeding.
That's right.
I think Jacksonville's going to get whatever they want offensively anyways against this bad Indy defense. And maybe it doesn't go well for Rivers, but I was surprised with the line move as well. And I'm surprised the Pittsburgh line didn't tick up more after the Baltimore win.
Sure. And I will point out that, you know, as we've seen teams now and how they go for it, a 2-point conversion when they cut the lead to like 8, right? Instead of kicking the extra point to make it a 7-point game, a lot of times they'll go for 2 to make it a 6-point game. Like 5, 5.5, 6, 6.5, that's turned into a more of a key number here. It doesn't happen like that every game, but it does happen where teams do that. And they're like, no, we're not going to kick the extra point. I want to know right now what we're going to need if we score again.
I'm going to reach out to Sharp Plays during the break. What was Henry for touchdowns? I didn't see it anywhere. I'm sure he'll have it. Unmatched transparency with records updated daily. The AI plays are up 50 units. Real-time global betting info. Look for the Mr. Poison tweets before kickoff. And the primetime games, look for the first touchdown of the game tweets. Alerts directly from the pros. Dialed in, connected, been doing it since 2011. Jeff and the crew are fantastic. Sharpplays.com. Real-time global betting info, sharpplays.com. Get up there today.
We'll dive into the early games coming up next. On paper, this is one of the best matchups you're ever going to find, especially with this being championship week in fantasy football here on VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show.
VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
No doubt fantasy players, prop bet players, had today's game circled between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Arizona Cardinals. Right? A game that means nothing to either team. However, it is one of the best matchups you're ever going to get for a individual player at tight end, that being Trey McBride. And look, I know that as soon as books, you know, posting this number at 70.5, they were going to post it and be like, okay, we need a duck right now because incoming, here we go, watch out. Here comes all the artillery. And it quickly moved to 76.5, as high as 79.5 right now in the market. And Bengals against the tight end so far this year, one of the worst defenses we've ever had. They've allowed 105 catches. That is the most in the league by 7. The Bengals have allowed 1,362 yards to the tight end, most by 312. They've allowed 15 touchdowns, most by 4. His props, 7.5 catches today. I mentioned the yards. Anytime touchdown is about plus 110, 8.5, 8-1 to score twice, 50-1 to score 3 times.
To tell you about how much damage he's going to do and how he's going to cook, at DraftKings, 10-plus catches is only plus 250. Yeah. Now think about that. Mm-hmm. But I would think he's going to eat with the yards as well. 120-plus is plus 370. And I don't know what's going on. It's 65 degrees in Cincinnati. It's 85 degrees in Dallas. So you're going to have fine, nice weather. And the total has gone from 50.5 up to 53.5 in this one.
Yeah, and you look at what individual tight ends have done against Cincinnati so far this year. Freiermuth now in the Steelers, they played twice, but he had that huge game on that Thursday night. In those two games, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hunter Henry killed him. 7-115 in his score. Dawson Knox, 6-93. Mark Andrews, 6-65. TJ Hockenson had 49 yards and a touchdown. And if you go back and look at McBride's numbers, now last week he was shut down against Atlanta. Atlanta is also either the best or the second best team in the entire league in neutralizing tight ends. The week before that, McBride, 12-134, 2 touchdowns. Week 13 against Tampa, 8-82 and a touchdown. Week 12 against Jacksonville, 9-79. Week 11 against San Francisco, 10-115 and 1. Week 10 against Seattle, 9-127 and a touchdown. His average game from week 6 at Indy, that was the first start from Jacoby Brissett, to week 15 against Houston was 8.4 catches, 88 plus yards and a touchdown. His median game was actually 9 catches for a little bit fewer yards at about 79. I think you're going to be hating yourself, Paulie, if you don't have a little piece of Trey McBride today.
Yep. Bengals laying 7. They should get what they want as well. And this Arizona team, I'm shocked Gannon's still there. They've lost 12 of 13 they only win that Monday night game in Dallas. So I think Burrow was great last week, and we'd see more of the same if they put up a ton of points in this one. You got key injuries with Arizona's defense as well.
I would imagine Burrow was going to probably have a huge game here today.
Chase has had 90 yards in every home game as well.
Mm-hmm. We also got a great email from Pete, FTM at VSiN.com is the email. The breakdown on Chase Brown's longest rush prop today against Arizona. 13 of the last 15 games, the lead running back has gone, or it's happened 13 times in the last 15 games for a running back against Arizona to go over 13 and a half yards. And now Brown has not achieved that number in the last three games, but he did it in five of his last six. I'm hoping, I have him in one of my fantasy leagues today. I hope that he is a big part of the offense and it's not just Burrow to, you know, Higgins and Jamar Chase here. Big one in Carolina as Seattle is taking on the Panthers. Believe it or not, Bryce Young is a top 10 quarterback in QBR and at Pro Football Focus every week since the Carolina bye, which was not that long ago, but he's playing some of the best football of his life. I went back and looked at how Carolina tied into today's action as a 7-point dog against Seattle. How did they beat a healthy Green Bay team in the Rams? The Packers had more first downs. Green Bay was better on third downs. Green Bay was 2 of 3 on fourth down. Carolina was 2 of 2. Green Bay had 104 more yards. They averaged 1 yard per play more in the game. Passing yards was 265 to 102. Each team had an INT. But here, I guess, is what happened. Carolina had 163 rushing yards to 104 for Green Bay, and Green Bay had two more penalties and a lost fumble. In the Rams game, Rams had more first downs.
Yeah. The luck, they're like the Steelers and the Bears a little bit. The luck factor is strong with this team. But this is where they're at their best. They've won 8 games straight up as a dog. That's a record. And Darnold, though, is 12-0 straight up, laying 6 points or more. I think it's a big JSN game. I don't see Dowdle being able to get anything going on the ground. That makes it a Bryce Young game. Can they put heat on him and pressure on him? They didn't do much in the win last week. It was more horrible Mayfield and a bad job or lack thereof a passing attack out of Tampa Bay last week. This Seattle knows what's on the line here, and they can still get the one seed. I think they win. I think it's a huge game for JSN. He can lock up Offensive Player of the Year. I don't expect much from Bryce Young in this game. And while we would like to reference kickers on this game, how good has Myers been? And his prop has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Prior to the Rams game, he was at an 8-1 overrun, 1.5 made field goals, and he saw 6 in one game, 5, 4, 3, 3. So he's been automatic as well. You could look at Seattle longest made field goal in the game also.
Yeah. So the recipe in those two big upset wins were, you know, running the football. If they can run the ball again today, they ran for 160 plus yards in both those two wins. The Rams had 3 turnovers, bad pick 6 by Matthew Stafford. Carolina had 0. They had time of possession in that game, 35 to 25, but also combined, they were 5 for 5 on fourth down against the Rams and the Packers. Like, that's got to come back to the pack in those high leverage spots. I don't expect them to be perfect today in fourth down spots overall against the Seattle team, but I'm with you too. I think that JSN is in store for a doozy of a game, and that's going to come down to, you know, Sam Darnold, who has had a really good regular season, but a couple of different weeks where it's like, oh boy, the same Sam Darnold from week 18 last year in the playoff game as well. But so this, you know, it's, do we think that Seattle and San Francisco is going to be the Sunday night game now next week?
Probably Baltimore and Pittsburgh. It depends how that works out with these other scenarios here. Mm-hmm. They got that Saturday doubleheader. That could be a Saturday doubleheader game too, what they want to do. We've seen that with the side divisions or how NBC's going to play it. There's too many scenarios up in the air right now.
All right. What kind of game plan are we going to get today from the Colts and Phillip Rivers? Are we going to get the one that we saw on Monday night where it was an aerial attack? Or the one against Seattle 2 weeks ago where they're like, nah, we're not going to have him throw the football. It's going to be all running.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more of the same of what we saw Monday night. Now we're looking at Pierce props again. Shotgun, spread them out and throw. Hard to run against Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And Chuck and Duck, he's only 200 yards with his passing yards. That was plus 250 to cash here at Circa last week. But the other factor you have is how long is he going to play, knowing that they've been eliminated. You know, you bring Sauce back, you don't have Buckner. But the run that Lawrence is on, and who knows, they could be behind and they just decide to pull it and say, that's enough, Rivers. Well, that'll do it. Jacksonville, 17-3-1 run against the Colts. They've owned them. Lawrence has been on an unbelievable heater. 14 to rip, touchdown INT ratio last four. Jacksonville has 118 points last three and 6-0 straight up in ATS run, outscoring their opponents 205 to 92. Myers props, I won't put you off Myers props. He's been great. Parker Washington was awesome. How this offense is functioning and at this level, how well they're playing. We were on the air when they got trounced in London against the Rams 35-7, and since they've been unstoppable. So maybe you're concerned about a letdown spot after they were so good in Denver, but I just don't think it's going to go well for Rivers. And then, you know, I played over 204.5 passing, but it goes back to now that you've been eliminated, how long is the guy going to play?
Yeah, Sauce Gardner expected to play today.
I don't get it.
For the Colts, I don't get it either. That doesn't make any sense to me.
If he goes for two number ones, what can you get from Max Crosby?
Yeah, no kidding. But here's the thing. The Colts, that defense last week was absolutely shredded by Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan.
Yes.
Like everybody was wide open for the Niners that entire time. It was actually an embarrassing performance by the Colts secondary. Mm-hmm. So they've allowed the fourth most passing yards to quarterbacks, the most receptions allowed to wide receivers, and the fourth most yards. And here's the thing. They've played one fewer game than the Cowboys, Commanders, and Lions, the three teams that have allowed more yards to wide receivers than this team overall, and 14 touchdowns. So this should be another huge day to Lawrence, for Lawrence, like you're talking about. And you mentioned why you like Rivers here to be the guy. Jacksonville's rushing defense is absolutely elite. They have allowed the fewest yards to running backs in the league by more than 100 compared to the next closest team.
Strong, yeah. You've been on this too for a while. 12-3 over their team total. Cohen's done an excellent job.
Yep.
And I know we doubted Lawrence many times. He's had a great season. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide, omahasteaks.com/VSiN. I'm on the website right now. It's incredible with the chicken, the sausage, the franks, the steaks, the burgers, the potatoes. Great menu, great selection. Great gift as well. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN.
I actually think the Jacksonville and Indy game could be a good game for tight ends. I think the rookie here, Warren, can have a good game because that's one of the weaknesses for Jacksonville, but also the same thing can be said about the Colts defense too. So, all right, it's VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show live in Las Vegas from the Circa Resort Casino. Warren Sharp on the program coming up next. You're going to get some great analysis along with a best bet and some player props that he likes for the Week 17 card coming up next.
You're watching VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Time to get some best bets here on the Week 17 betting card, some player props. We go out to the Progressive guest line. Warren Sharp joins the program at Sharp Football on X. Website is sharp.football. Warren, hope you had a great Christmas. Let's begin with your best bet today. Now, again, things move, and you go on this network several times throughout the entire week, and you're going to give out best bets in other shows as well. But you talked about this one earlier in the week. It has moved. Explain who you like and whether or not it's still worth a bet at the current number.
Yeah, short story. I do think it is worth a bet. I was on Friday morning, talked about this one. I like Kenneth Walker of the Seattle Seahawks for his longest run against the Carolina Panthers to be more than 14.5 yards. No, we took this at 12.5. It moved to 13.5, 14.5 quite quickly because 12.5 I thought was just an egregiously low number. And so that's one of the reasons that I pounced on that one. But I still think that it has value at 14.5. If you look at the running backs that go up against the Carolina Panthers, nine of their last running backs that they faced, nine of them have gone over 14 plus rushing yards for their longest run. Eight of them have a longest run of 15 plus yards in their last eight games that they've played. They allowed Rashad White 39, Devin Neal of the Saints, and that's not a great running back, obviously a young player, 15 yards for his longest. Blake Corum had a 34-yarder. Christian McCaffrey, who hasn't had the most elite season of late on the ground, specifically a 17-yarder. Bijan Robinson, a 19-yarder. I could go back more, like three or four more guys. I'm not going to. The point is they've been giving up these runs, and if you look at what we've got out of Kenneth Walker, he has gone over this in five of his last seven games. Now, he didn't go over it against the Falcons. He didn't go over it against the Colts. I think they're going to need for him to have success on the ground in this game on the road. This is a game that the Seahawks need to win to maintain their frontline edge to get the number one overall seed in the NFC. And think about this. It's Sam Darnold on the road in colder weather, playing outdoors. I mean, they're going to need to lean more on the run. I don't think they're going to have a high-flying, successful game through the air. And so I think this Carolina Panthers defense has been giving it up. He's hit it in five of his last seven. A little bit more rushing attack this week. I think he goes over this.
All right. Arizona's got injuries defensively. They've been awful. They've lost 12 of 13. Chase Brown was great last week. How about a big game from Chase Brown coming up?
I don't see why we can't get another big game from Chase Brown here. The Cincinnati Bengals fall out of the playoffs. All of a sudden, their offense turns it up even further. This is just typical for what those fans get to see on an annual basis for this team to play great when the games don't matter quite as much. And if you look at Chase Brown, he's had 100-plus total yards, rush plus receive, in six of his last seven games. And this is a guy who is turning it on late. Yes, Samaje Perine is back in the mix. Yes, that means Chase Brown hasn't been running the football quite as much, but that's why the yardage, combined yardage number has dropped a little bit. It's down to 81 and a half. I think that's a great number to go over. I think he's going to have ample opportunity to get there. We saw Bijan Robinson tear these guys up just a week ago on the road, playing with Kirk Cousins as his quarterback out in Arizona. Now the Cincinnati Bengals playing at home. I'm not quite so sure with all these defensive players that are dropping like flies, and on a weekly basis, more and more of these Arizona Cardinals guys continue to get injured. They're going to want to come out here a couple days after Christmas in the cold Cincinnati wind and want to tackle Chase Brown and give a full 60-minute effort on the defensive side of the football. I think there's going to be ample opportunity for Chase Brown to go over his total rush plus receiving yards in this game.
I like this one. Deep dive here coming from you. It's the Saints-Titans game, and you found an angle here with Tajay Spears. Tell us about it.
Yeah, look, Tajay Spears has been coming along of late, as has Tony Pollard, but I think Tajay Spears through the air is a play that I'm looking to make. He's got a low receiving yards total in the mid-teens. I think he goes over this number. Tajay Spears has gone over this number in nine of his last 10 games. Maybe it's 16, 17 and a half. I'm not sure. I didn't check this morning. I bet at 15 and a half. I think there's upside here for Tajay Spears to go over his total receiving yards in a game that the New Orleans Saints have been giving this up as well. They've been allowing some yardage through the air to running backs. This is another unit on that side of the ball where they're still playing hard, and Tyler Shough is playing hard offensively. This is still a team that's going to try to be competitive. This is not a game, in my opinion, that the Tennessee Titans come in and win by 14 plus points because the Saints are tanking or laying down here. They're going to be giving full effort on the offensive side of the ball with Tyler Shough playing really well of late. And as a result, I think you're going to need a dance partner on the other side. You're going to need Cam Ward to be throwing the ball a little bit here. I think there's going to be outlets. Potentially even one pass would be all it takes. They do design some really nice running back screen passes in Tennessee. I think Tajay Spears has a chance to go over this in one catch. So you might want to look to play the longest reception, but I prefer just total because I do think that there's a chance he gets two, three balls here and gets over this total of his receiving yards in the mid-teens.
How about Tampa Bay laying 5.5 in Miami, where we were kept saying, wait till they get healthy and get all these weapons back. But Mayfield is clearly playing through injuries and the passing attack's been lousy and they're not taking shots down the field. What do you expect? There's sixes out there now with not only this week, but if Tampa can make the playoffs and be a factor.
Man, I mean, this is just one of those teams that I don't know that we need them in the playoffs. I don't know that they bring any upside for us if they do make the playoffs, but this team is certainly still in contention. Baker Mayfield definitely has been struggling. They had one pass of 20-plus yards last week. This is a team that in five of the last 6 weeks, Mayfield has failed to pass the ball for even 200 yards. But you are going up against the Miami Dolphins defense that is a pass funnel defense. They have been a sieve of late. And the fact of the matter is, no, Baker Mayfield doesn't have his full complement of offensive linemen. But yes, he does have his complement of wide receivers. They've been talking about getting Chris Godwin a little bit more involved deeper down the field. A lot of his catches have been closer to line of scrimmage. coaching staff talked this past week about getting Chris Godwin a little bit more involved down the field as a way to try to get some more explosives, because if you really have Baker Mayfield running for his life back there, you aren't going to have the time to throw the football down the field. So this is not just, oh, well, let's have Chris Godwin run deeper routes. They really do need a collective effort here with some better play calling, some better scheming, some better strategy. But you know, this is not necessarily a team that I have a lot of confidence in. You're going up against a Quinn Ewers-led Miami Dolphins team that's just trying to figure out what they've got in some of these players, and specifically in Quinn Ewers himself. So both of these teams, you know, Miami Dolphins are looking to try to play a little bit of a spoiler role here with Quinn Ewers. But Baker Mayfield, like, I mean, if they can't turn it up against this Dolphins defense, in my opinion, this week, they're not really going to have much to give us, even if they do fall their way into the postseason, because this is a perfect opportunity to get back on track a little bit here.
Now, Warren, I think if Tua was still playing quarterback here, specifically against this Buccaneers defense, right, where they can get exposed by running backs in the passing attack, Achan would be an absolute look. Is that still the case with Ewers or no?
Well, I think Achan, the problem with Ewers and Achan is that I just don't have the catalog to know exactly where he wants to throw the football to. And this is the thing, when you get to week 17, week 18, what I have found is you could still try to play the same prop volume overall, but if you do, you're probably not going to win by doing so. Focusing in on just a few of the props that you find, the biggest edges are the places that you want to attack the most down the stretch here. And primarily it's in games where you've got teams that either both have nothing to play for, and we'll talk about some of those later on with the late slate game between the Giants and the Raiders, or teams that both do have something to play for, or players that have a reliable workload. For example, your Chase Brown look, where he does have this reliable workload. You know what he's going to get. Quarterback is the same. Coach is the same. Play caller is the same. Here, it's hard to really figure out what the attack is going to be. What do the Dolphins want to lean into? Case in point, we had the New Orleans Saints just a week ago playing in their final home game, I think, of the year, really look to go after their quarterback turned tight end turned running back, and just get him the ball and send him out on a high note, potentially in his last game at home, because of the career that he's given. He's talked about possibly retiring. And so he said that they were calling plays for me just to have a great game. I think he threw a 30-yard touchdown pass in that game as well. So it's just really hard to figure out that I'm talking about Taysom Hill, of course, but it's really hard to figure out from a week to week basis at the end of the season what these coaches want to prioritize, especially if they have nothing really to play for, which is the case of the Miami Dolphins.
No, it's a great point. Warren, great talking to you as well. And we'll hit you up again coming up at 11:15 a.m. Eastern time today. Thank you.
Sounds good, guys.
There you go. And thanks. Follow Warren Sharp on X. He's at Sharp Football. Website is sharp.football. He was on the Progressive guest line.
Wright is plus 850 anytime touchdown. He's cashed a couple of these.
That's right.
I think that's it, because he doesn't like Ollie Gordon McDaniel. I think that's not a bad bet again.
What's Ollie's number?
It was plus 750. I saw better. I mean, McDaniel refuses to give him the ball.
All right, so we're going to expand on the afternoon slate coming up next. He brought up the Giants-Raiders game there briefly. It was nearly 3 months since this hyped rookie delivered with prolific numbers, but he should be able to do it in back-to-back weeks. I'll explain next here on VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show.
VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This game is so bad today, you can't even call it the Toilet Bowl. You got to call it the Porta Potty Bowl.
Yes.
Out here in Las Vegas, Raiders taking on the Giants. Both teams on 9-game losing streaks. Giants up to a 2.5-point favorite. I like what you said Friday and follow the money. What the hell are we doing, people, calling this the Mendoza Bowl instead? That's who we're tanking for? I don't think so, especially when the Giants took Jackson Dart last year.
That's right.
Come on.
You can make the case it's the worst game in NFL history.
I'm here for it.
It's 2-13 against 2-13, and for the first time ever, both teams come in on a 9-game losing streak. So no Bowers. They shut him down. They shut Crosby down. He needs surgery. And the Giants are off that abomination last week against the Vikings, where they didn't attempt to pass till late in the first half, and 33 yards passing in the game as well. Giants taking money. Someone has got to win the game. Giants up to 2.5. Time and time again, the Raiders have been in this position and they have blown it, winning meaningless games and blowing a top three pick. Here, they can get the number one overall pick, lose the game, get it right. And even if you don't want to go quarterback number one, at least you have the you can trade and get a king's ransom as well. Do the right thing and lose. Giants up to 2.5. I think the Giants win the game.
We'll have an update on this game coming up in 15 minutes that will blow your doors off.
Yes.
Something happened with this game last night here in Las Vegas. Ashton Jeanty in week 4 against the Bears. 138 rushing yards, a touchdown, 2 catches, 2 more touchdowns. Now, they had a block kick at the end to lose it. The Bears blocked it to actually secure the win. But you're like, okay, took a couple of games, but now this is the since then, his best game on the ground before last week was 75 yards against Tennessee. And then finally delivered last week against Houston of all teams.
Yeah, he was great.
He had 128 on the ground and a touchdown, another 60-yard catch for a touchdown. The Giants have allowed the third most rushing yards to opposing running backs, 13 touchdowns, and the fourth most catches. So his props, how do you want to attack this year with no Bowers out? 18.5 attempts, rushing yards low 70s, longest rush 13.5 yards. I don't mind that one.
Mm-hmm.
4.5 catches is the prop. How about rushing and receiving yards combo out of him today?
He's 3-1 to have 100 yards. He's 10-1 to have the most rushing yards today.
Now, the
comeback could be how long would they pull him in the second half, but I don't think they're going to do that. I just think this Giants run defense is so putrid and awful that he can go off and have a big game, and you're not going to throw it, I don't think, a lot in this game because you're down Bowers and you traded Meyer, so you can't protect either. That's the other thing. So I would think 100 yards, 3-1, and take a peek at a piece of 10-1, most rushing yards today, because there's a lot of unknowns here. Like Barkley should have a big game, but I don't know how long they're going to play him, and it's going to be weather. And the same thing could be said about Cook. I don't know how bad the Bills want this. They could take the field. No, like Sal Pal said, the Patriots win by 3 touchdowns today.
Right.
You're the late game. It's not official, but then you know at that point you're not going to win the division. And I don't see Taylor doing anything against the Jags as you had those great numbers. So I would think there's a case to be made for Jeanty here.
Right. Max Crosby, not happy. He wanted to play the entire year. I tell you what, I watched the game. He looked good, looked healthy. Never once thought, boy, he's got a banged up knee here. He was asked this week about playing for the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about the pick. Like, to be honest, I don't play for that. I don't. That's not my job. My job is to be the best defensive end in the world. And that's what I focus on every day, and being a great leader, and being an influence, and being that guy on a consistent basis for my team. So, yeah, that's their job. That's, the front office, the coaches, that they do that, but that's got nothing to do with me. I've learned that lesson in the past. I'm not trying to – you can't control everything, and that's not my job description. My job is to be the best in the world at what I do, and that's wrecking the game.
I don't know what happened here. I thought this was communicated, and this was the plan, because then they tell him, then he gets upset and leaves the facility.
Right.
But then it comes out he needs surgery as well, and that'll extend into the offseason. Anyways, I'm just watching this dumpster fire and how bad this organization is. And I see Sauce Gardner goes for 2 number ones. How about Max Crosby for Jackson? How about you really blow it up, get the number one pick, lose this game, and then you can move Crosby as well.
Yeah, I don't mind that idea whatsoever. I kind of like where your head's. Who gave you that idea?
It's my idea. Get out of here.
I just love busting your onions, man. I love that idea. No, it's really good.
If Sauce goes, Sauce can't cover you. So if Sauce goes, most overrated guy we've seen in quite some time, if he goes for 2 number ones, what can I get for Crosby? And like, big whoop. Oh, he's a great player. Well, we're going to go win 2 games.
Right.
What's the difference?
Do you think, let me ask you this. Do you think Malik Willis should be a starter somewhere next
year? Yes, I do.
Or does it only work with the floor?
I'd rather have Willis than Geno Smith. Willis is better than a lot of starting quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I give LaFleur a lot of credit. But I also think teams were quick to give up on him.
Oh, no doubt.
And he certainly has grown and matured and developed. It took a while, but sometimes that happens.
I thought the guy, look, I'm almost the president of his fan club. Is he the reason why they lost the game last night? Of course not. The defense was despicable. I thought Willis was really, really good in that game.
Yeah.
So you brought this up earlier, but you don't know what we're going to get with Barkley in the game today against the Bills. Buffalo now here at Circa up to a 2-point favorite, right?
Yep.
Bills are 9-1 straight up last 10 in December with Josh Allen. Here's the deal. They've averaged 31 points per game the last four. Quietly, he's averaging 175 yards passing. It's like not even an aerial attack to speak of, but it's him on the ground as James Cook on the ground quite a bit.
Boy, this one's tough. So you got 15 mile per hour winds. It's going to rain the whole game. I'd look at longest made field goal under. Knox and Kincaid are questionable. And then how do you attack it from the Eagles standpoint? Where you're not going to improve your seed, and you've already wrapped up the division. And how long do these guys play? Sal Pal didn't even know when he was on with us Wednesday, and he's at the game for ESPN. So you mentioned I can do you one better. Allen, 12 in a row, 14 of 15 at home in December, how good he's been in automatic. But between injuries and health concerns and what the opponent's going to do, a lot of unknowns here. I tell you, Barkley should eat, though. I mean, this Bills run defense is pathetic. So if they want to go out there again, and Barkley's come on of late, he could have a big game, but I just don't know how Sirianni's going to treat this here. And here's Sirianni asked about playing the starters and how long.
Is this a game where you're definitely going to play the starters throughout the entire game?
Yeah, this is a week that we have to get better. This is an opportunity for us to go out there. We've been on short week after short week. We're finally on a normal week, as far as our rest goes. So this is a really important week for us, practice wise, game wise, to go and get better, and we'll see how everything plays itself out. But really important week for us to improve as a football team.
I would play people and try to get on track best you can offensively. Although it's been a mess all year, and then I would sit people against Washington next week.
Okay, so let me bring this up then. Maybe he's a man of his word there, and the starters get a full run, and Barkley's going to have 28 carries. I doubt that. Because they've been spelling him a little bit more over the last couple of weeks with Tank Bigsby. Now, the Raiders game 2 weeks ago was a blowout, 31-0. He had 17 carries, 57 yards in that game. Then, last week against Washington, he had 4 carries for 37 yards. Good tweet here. You can always tweet the show. At VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. This is from Paul. He points out the last two games that I just did. His rushing yards prop is 10.5 for Bigsby. We're expecting a ton of rain in this game today.
Yep.
He found a ladder up to 40 plus at 10-1. Anytime touchdown, 11-1 against this Bills defense. I did 30 plus rushing yards at 5-1 on Tank Bigsby.
I like it.
But I like both those numbers actually that he found.
Yep. Bills 3-12 ATS in the first half. Slow start after slow start.
Right. They're also 16-3 straight up and ATS is a short favorite when the number is 3 points or less since 2017.
I'm hoping for a competitive game, because if this is a blowout, all we have is Raiders Giants. Come on. Shame on the NFL for us.
Have you gotten involved in the Sunday night game?
Oh, it's a big game. Bears, this is tough.
Bears clinched the division last night.
Now the flu's going through the team.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Noah Dunze, everyone's sick. Don't like the spot for the Niners. Travel, short rest. But how do you knock Shanahan here? The one thing that would concern me, even though he's playing well, was that Monday night game against Carolina with how bad Purdy was. Well, you're taking on the most opportunistic team ever. And 31 takeaways and plus 21 in the turnover differential. And it seems every game the Bears get 2 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that would give me pause. But also the great news that if they make the NFC title game, Warner can come back. But knowing that if they win out, they get the one seed. I just think I take the 49ers if I played the game. But this is a tough one here because how many guys are sick? Sometimes you play well when you're sick, but going through the team and then the Bears also was celebrating after they won the division for the first time since 2018.
Yeah, both rushing attacks based on like metrics here with the offensive lines compared to the defensive lines, both running the game should be able to go off tonight.
Yeah.
Specifically the Bears, they've been great all year long.
We're live New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Full regular programming both days. VSiN by the book, 7 a.m. rolls into a numbers game. And then we're on for the Rose Bowl and also the first playoff game with Miami and Ohio State. Spend your New Year's with VSiN, the nonstop home for sports bettors. We're here all day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
You won't believe what happened with this Giants-Raiders game here in Las Vegas last night. Details next.
We'll be right back.